Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Okay, let's just pray together before you sit down. Father, we believe that you've got a word for every one of us here. Thank you, Lord, that although we journey together, each one of us is on a personal journey with you. And you want to lead us and guide us on that journey. You want to meet every need we have on that journey. And you want us to bring us to the destiny that you have prepared for us and the destination where we will live and reign with you for all eternity. And we just give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And we ask now for that anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon us, to hear, receive, and to respond to that word in the way that will glorify you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's be seated. As it's August, we have a very simple message, which won't stretch you too much. Is that all right? Simple illustration. Just watch my hands. This is you, and this is Jesus. Now, people often pray and have this kind of attitude. This is you, remember. Jesus, come to me. Come to me. Come and bless me. Come and heal me. Come and meet the need in my life. Come and guide me. Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me. I will give you rest. I will meet your need. And this kind of situation persists often for a long time. People saying, come to me. Jesus saying, come to me. Now someone has got to give way. Guess who? You see, when you come to Jesus, you don't come to him just at the beginning of your Christian experience and give your life to him. There's a sense in which we come to him every day. Every faithful believer, of course, will pray every day. What is prayer? Is it asking Jesus to come and bless you, or are you coming to Jesus to meet with Jesus, to listen to Jesus? Because when we pray, we need to pray by faith, and faith comes from hearing God. So we need to come to him to listen to what he's saying so he can inspire the faith within us. Then we'll lead to answered prayer. You were here this morning. Did you come to church or did you come to Jesus?
That's very good. Come on then.
You see, all over this nation, people will be going to church today, but they won't necessarily be going to Jesus. That won't be their heart motivation, heart expectation. Many will be going out of a sense of duty because it's Sunday morning, or out of force of habit. They wouldn't feel happy if they didn't go to church. But of course, if we really love the Lord, we're coming to Jesus. We are coming to church because we're coming to meet with the body that belongs to Jesus. So we're coming together to Jesus. That's the difference between what we do day by day in our homes and what we do together on Sunday and other times when we meet together. Then we come together as the body. Now, in the New Testament, there are a number of principles. You could say they are laws of the kingdom of God. No kingdom or no society, no school, no university, no business, no factory, no group of people can work together without order. There has to be order. So in God's kingdom, there is order. The scripture says he is not a God of chaos, he's not a God of disorder, but a God of order. So there are these principles that Jesus teaches throughout the Gospels. And I'm going to focus on one of those principles this morning. The measure you give is the measure you receive. Now, that principle comes out in many different ways. For example, Jesus said, if you judge, you will be judged. The measure you use is the measure you receive. So if people start judging you, the first thing you need to ask is, have I been judging others? Am I receiving back what I have given? And it's just after that that Jesus says, the measure you give is the measure you receive. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. If we judge, we will be judged. If we condemn, we will be condemned. Another way in which this same principle, you see, is taught by what Jesus says is, you reap what you sow. And of course, Paul and others take up this principle. Those who sow a little will only reap a little. Those who sow much will reap much. So this same principle is there when Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. If they give mercy, they will receive mercy. And so on. You can see it often when as you read the Gospels, you can see, there's another example of this principle of the kingdom, that you reap what you sow, the measure you give is the measure you get back. Now, we can easily fall into the trap of expecting to receive from God without giving first. And I'm not talking about money. Although Jesus, you might be surprised to know, talked about money more than any other subject in his parables and so on. So Jesus wasn't afraid to talk about money. And I mean, it is true that if you are faithful in tithing and in your offerings, God will give back to you everything that you need financially. It works in the financial realm. But I'm not talking about that. That's just another example of the way in which this principle affects the whole of the life of the kingdom. Now, I'm talking about it, especially our attitude when we pray and the attitude with which we live every day. Do you give yourself to the Lord every day? Kind of prayer that I pray is, Lord, I surrender my life afresh to you today, spirit, soul, and body, that I might live to glorify you. Thank you that as I give myself to you, you give yourself to me in every way that I need to receive from you today. Simple prayer, but it keeps your heart attitude right. And you see, the thing is this, that God does not exist for you.
That's true.
You exist for God. See, he created you in his image for his sake.
That's it. Very good.
Now, of course, he loves us, wants to meet with us in every need of our lives. But you see, if I acknowledge that I live for God, then every day I live for God.
Very good.
And that means every day I want to state that. Because another principle of the kingdom is what you say is what you get. That your tongue will speak the words that will direct the course of your life. So, if I keep surrendering myself to the Lord, I will live a surrendered life. If I don't keep saying it, I won't do it. And I will slip into that deception of thinking God exists for me. And if I think God exists for me and he doesn't come up with what I'm wanting, then I'm going to get discouraged and disheartened and even might start blaming God and getting angry with him. I hear people getting angry with God. I mean, how dare anybody get angry with God? Who do we think we are? He is altogether righteous, altogether holy, perfect in all his ways. He's never made a mistake in all his life, and you're not his first one. You see, he didn't even make a mistake in bringing you into his kingdom.
Amen.
You see, he called you and chose you specifically to belong to him. And you think of all the people in Worthing, why should he choose you? Well, to look at you, I couldn't have a faintest idea. I don't know why he should have chosen you, but he must have seen something on the inside that is not visible on the outside. Because he looks upon the heart. Amen. And you see, this is the point. I mean, why should he have chosen me? I don't know. But I knew that he chose me when I was a young lad, about 10 years old. But I didn't come from a Christian family, didn't know anybody who was born again, just at a sovereign meeting with God. But I knew right from the very beginning he'd called me, chosen me. And I can remember the very first thing that impacted my life then was how wonderful that God, who created everything, should have chosen me to serve him. And see, this is it. He's chosen you to serve him. He doesn't exist for you, but for you to serve him. And there's all kinds of different ways in which we do that. Of course, what we learn from the scripture, again, is that we only serve him if we serve others. Hello? That in serving others, we serve him. See? So the measure you give to others is the measure you give to God.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
You see, it's the same principle, another principle of the kingdom, all the time. So as you give to others, so God will give back to you. Not necessarily through the same person that you give to. You see, so when we do things for people, we should never expect a response from them and get all upset if they are not thankful and if they don't congratulate us and applaud us and make these wonderful things we've done for them known. No, no, no. We give because we love. See, God gives because he loves. So, but if you give to others, God will give back to you through others. Not necessarily through the same people that you're giving to, but through others. You see, you might serve those who have some great need in some way, and there's no way in which they really have the capacity to bless you in return. But if you're pouring out your life for others in that way, God will ensure that others will be giving to you, to love you, care for you, support you, encourage you, build you up, strengthen you, so that you can continue to pour out your life for others. It's the same principle all the time. We love to hear of God's healing grace. We love to receive his healing grace. But you know, one of the secrets of receiving God's healing is to give of yourself. You see, it's not just a question of, Lord, come and heal me. What did Jesus say? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. So if we want to be healed, it's not, Lord, come and heal my body, but Lord, I surrender my body to you because you paid the price for my body. And what does the scripture say? That you offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. So it's not my body, it's his body. You see, something is wrong with my prayer if I'm thinking, Lord, come and heal my body. He says, well, wait a minute, I thought I owned you, that I was your Lord, that I paid the price for you, that you belong to me. Are we getting this? So I can bring my body and say, Lord, here is your body, the body that you have given me, the body with which to serve you. I surrender my body to you. I ask you to come and do in my body whatever is needed at that particular time. It's an attitude, isn't it? See? And it's an attitude that's an extension of that, well, do we exist for God or does God exist for us? And if I know that my body belongs to the Lord, I know my Lord doesn't want a sick body.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on then.
Yeah.
He's true.
That actually he is able to do whatever is necessary. And that doesn't mean that we always receive instant healing. Sometimes, you know, we have to persevere in prayer. Sometimes God puts our faith to the test. That's true all the way through Scripture, that God tests our faith. And sometimes you can be in a situation, you see, where you can think you respond with faith, but after a little while you give up. And what God is saying to you in that is you didn't believe in the first place. Because, you see, what Jesus teaches us is that if we're in faith, we believe that we have received what we ask for before we even see it, before it happens. So, you see, the scripture says that we pray at all times with thanksgiving.
Yes.
Why? Because if you don't believe you've received it, you won't say thank you.
That's it.
But if you believe that you received it because you've asked in the name of Jesus, then you thank him even before anything's happened. Now that's the prayer of faith. So the scripture says we pray at all times with thanksgiving. All times there means all times. So it means every time you pray with thanksgiving, because otherwise you haven't prayed with faith. And God does not promise to answer every prayer, but he does promise to answer every prayer of faith. That, you know, whatever you believe, God will in fact do. So often we think, oh Lord, I believed, and you know, it didn't happen. And well, either God is a liar or you were wrong. And as God is not a liar, he's not a man that he would lie, sometimes we think we're believing when actually we don't. Why is that? Because we haven't come to him and listened. We've just prayed what we thought was the right thing to pray in a situation, and we've battered the gates of heaven with our words instead of listening to what God is saying to inspire in us the faith, but also for him to indicate to us how to pray in that particular situation. Can you understand that your prayer will never change the will of God?
That's it. Come on.
That's not what prayer is. Prayer is not to change the will of God. Prayer is to come in line with the will of God. See? That's why we need to listen first, because then the Holy Spirit will bring us into line with what God is saying in that particular situation. You know, over the years, I've got regularly involved in very serious situations. People sort of come to me with seemingly impossible situations. They've tried everybody else, so then... I once had a man say, you know, come to me and say, everybody who is anybody in the spiritual world has prayed for my healing. And he reeled off, you know, all the big names that you've ever heard of. And then he said to me, would you pray for me? I said, not on your life. You're not going to add me to the list. You see, clearly he'd looked to man, not to God. You know, it's always possible to err in that way, isn't it? But when people come with these impossible situations, I have to listen to the witness of the Spirit. And sometimes I know that it doesn't matter how impossible the situation looks, God is going to completely transform the whole thing. At other times I know this person is going to die. How do I know? I don't know. I just know that I know that I know. And what I've learned in situations like that is it's no use trying to con all the friends and relatives that want this person to recover if you know that is not what God is going to do. It may be the right time for the person to go. Every situation is different, you know. But it's no use trying to make something happen that you know God is saying will not happen. I've seen an amazing number of miracles, so my expectation always is right. God is going to heal, he's going to resolve this, he's going to meet whatever the situation is, unless, you know, and then when you get that sort of catch in your spirit from the Holy Spirit, then you know, okay, God understands things about this situation that I don't understand. He knows what I don't know. I'm never going to be able to force God to do what he is saying is not going to happen. So, you know that our destiny really is in the hands of God. Amen? But what we need to understand, I mean, I'm talking about extreme cases like that, but you see, the point is this, that in situations like that, Christians so often pray, and then, you know, I was really believing God was going to heal him, and then he died, and my faith was shattered. Well, if you'd listened to God, you'd known that he was going to die. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, if you actually listened to what God was saying, your faith would have been enlarged, not shattered. Because you would have heard what God was saying, you would have known what the outcome was going to be, and you would have prayed in a different way for everybody who was concerned. You would have prayed according to the Spirit, not according to your own desires or your own understanding. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So it's so important, isn't it, for us to listen to what we call the witness of the Holy Spirit. But we always start from this foundational truth that God loves us.
Amen.
So let's make this personal, right? God loves you.
Yes.
That's the foundational thing. He loves you because he is love. It's not his job.
Uh-huh.
Because you're his child, it's his nature.
That's it.
So everything he does in love. Because it's his nature to love. God is love. So this love is not like human love. This is where we have to understand that it is not love that's based upon emotion. It's not love that's based upon experience or infatuation or desire. It's love that you know this Greek word that is used in the New Testament to describe God's love, agape. It's different from other kinds of love. What it actually means is this. It's love that seeks the highest good of the one who is loved. So, to say God loves you is to say God seeks your highest good. Now, he knows that your highest good is his will, is his plan, is his purpose for your life. Now, coupled with his love, there is his peace. Now, peace is not the absence of conflict, of war, of noise. You know, peace isn't when the kids are gone to bed and all that kind of stuff. The peace of God means your total well-being. You remember Jesus said to the disciples that peace was his parting gift to them. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. In other words, he was saying, even though I'm going to leave you, I impart my peace for your total well-being. So when you know you are in that place of peace with God, you have this sense of total well-being. And it's summed up in that old hymn, it is well with my soul. You feel that total sense of well-being, of peace. You can be in the midst of all kinds of noise, conflict, difficulty, problems, yet nobody can rob you of that inner peace. Sense of total well-being. Now, he is the Prince of Peace. He's not only the God of love, but he is the Prince of Peace. So you put these two things together, and you're on the receiving end of his love. So God is saying, I seek your highest good. I want to impart my peace to you for your total well-being. Now, what many people fail to realize, especially in this matter of healing, is in Scripture, healing is linked with peace. You often hear Christians quote Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. Yes? I don't think we should ever quote that. I think we should quote the whole sentence that Jesus prophetically said. Because the scripture does not say, by his stripes we are healed. It says, and by his stripes we are healed. Which means that that phrase is linked to what went before it. And what went before it is this, the punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, that means, you see, we've got to get our mindset right. So often when people are sick or they have some ongoing problem, they regard it as some kind of punishment. Mm-hmm. Now, you might think that as a Christian, you know, oh, that's not right. No, that's not right. I don't think of it as a punishment. But how often have you heard people say, what have I done to deserve this? You see, what does that phrase mean? That means I'm being punished. I must have done something to deserve this. Well, there is some sickness that can be the consequence of sin. Some sexually imparted sicknesses, for example. But that's not the case with all sickness. I mean, some is the result of our own stupidity, overeating, undereating, overworking, underworking. I mean, you know, if we don't treat our bodies right, then the body is going to suffer as a consequence. So some sickness will be the consequence of sin, but other sickness is just the result of attack, of the fact that we live in a fallen world. There's all kinds of negative things that can afflict us. But that doesn't mean that these things are punishment. If we are suffering out of our own stupidity, that's foolishness. We need to repent of the foolishness and, you know, come back to a place of really submission and obedience to the Lord. I'll give you a simple illustration. There was a woman who came to me. She had some serious problems in both her knees. And this had been a problem for some time. I prayed for her and she was immediately healed. All the pain went, all the immobility in her knees and everything. She was just totally healed. She came back about 6 months later and said, "I can't understand it. I know the Lord healed me, but the whole thing has come back again. Would you pray for me again?" And the Holy Spirit said to me, "Ask her what the doctors told her." And so I said to her, "What did the doctor say to you?" I said, "I've got to lose weight because this condition is caused by my overweight." So I said, "Well, in the name of Jesus, go and lose weight. I'm not going to pray for you anymore. I pray that you would do what the doctor has said." But you see, that's where our foolishness can create conditions in our lives, because we're actually being disobedient. Not just disobedient to a doctor, but disobedient to the Lord. The daughter used the doctor in that case to tell the woman what she needed to do. Do we have any believers here this morning? We're all in the same meeting. Okay. That's okay. So, you see, we're not going to be in a place of faith if we think this condition is my fault or I'm being punished. Now, if it is your fault, what do? "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my sin, forgive me for my foolishness, forgive me for misusing my body, forgive me for whatever the situation may be." Why? Because then, see, before that scripture in Isaiah says the punishment of the Lord is peace, that's still not the whole verse. See, the whole verse says that he took all, not just our infirmities, but all our sins, everything upon himself. So there's no punishment for our sins. And therefore, we have peace with God. And if we're at peace with God, we can then believe, by his stripes, I'm healed. Amen. Now, you see, when you think about this, this is the outworking of God's love.
That's it.
What does his love mean? He seeks your highest good. He seeks your highest good, so he doesn't want any sin, doesn't want any guilt, doesn't want any fear, doesn't want any sense of being punished. He doesn't want any negative attitudes. He wants you to be in that place of peace with him where you have total well-being, and you know that by his stripes you're healed. So he is, in his love, concerned about your total well-being. You see, he's the whole package, isn't he? What he's done on the cross, what Jesus has done on the cross, is just a complete, total work for your health spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, relationally, in absolutely every way. So when we come to him every day and just very simply give our lives to him, we can say, "Lord, forgive me for whatever needs to be forgiven. Lord, thank you for your peace." And you're not going to allow the devil to rob you of that peace. You know the devil is a thief? Comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Isn't that what Jesus said? What does he want to steal first of all? Your peace.
Come on.
anxiety, fear, all kinds of ways. He wants to rob you of your peace. Why? Because as soon as he's robbed you of your peace, he's robbed you of your sense of well-being. See, that peace is that sense of total well-being. He wants to rob you of that sense of well-being. When you're robbed of that sense of well-being, then you begin to question, even though you may not realize it, whether in that situation God is going to love you enough to actually deal with whatever needs to be dealt with. Because that peace gets linked in with our whole attitude towards the love of God. Anybody understand what I'm talking about this morning? So, the wonderful thing is that for all eternity, we will be able to enjoy God without any of these negative needs. But we have the life of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, within us now. Because Jesus said, the kingdom of God is not over here or over there, but the kingdom is within you. Heaven is within you.
Amen.
The King of heaven is within you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So all the riches and resources of heaven are available to you. Somebody thought hallelujah, but they forgot to say it. I mean, it's wonderful, isn't it? That God has not withheld anything from you. Now, think of that, think of that. If he has not withheld anything from you and you are not living in the fullness of the life that he has given you, what's wrong? For some reason, you either don't believe what he's given you, or you're not laying hold of what he's giving you, or you're not living in the good of what he's given you. You know, a frequent thing that people come to me and say is, oh, Pastor, would you pray for me to speak in tongues? So I say, well, has anybody prayed with you to receive the Holy Spirit? Say, oh, yes. And you believe you've received the Holy Spirit? Yes. Well, if you've received the Holy Spirit, you can speak in tongues. So, no, I won't pray for you to speak in tongues. The reason why you're not speaking in tongues is because you don't believe you have the gift. And if you don't believe you have the gift, you can't use it. But if you believe that when you receive the Holy Spirit, God gave you the gift, then you can go away and use it. So then they come back, you know, 2 or 3 days later and say, oh, Pastor, it works, I'm speaking in tongues. Well, of course it works. All you have to do is to believe what God has done. But if you don't believe that he's given what he's given, even God can't give you what he's already given. It's for you to believe he's given it. Amen? And this is the case, you see, when it comes to our healing. We need to believe he has done it. There comes the point at which you receive something from God, but that's not always the point at which you first believed it. There was an occasion when two men, they were at a meeting and there'd been a word of knowledge about people being healed of serious back conditions, not, you know, just little pain, serious back conditions. And I've been teaching about how you believe what you've received, and then you go on thanking God and confessing your faith until you actually see the manifestation of what it is you believed you received. I had, they contacted me, these two guys contacted me a few days later, and they said to me, you prayed for us at the weekend, and we went away, and both of us had these serious conditions. The pain was almost unbearable after you prayed for us. And all the way through to the following Wednesday, it seemed that things got worse and worse and worse, and we kept thanking God and thanking God for our healing. Then suddenly on the Wednesday, both of us were completely healed. Now you see, God was putting their faith to the test. Do you really believe you've received it, or are you just saying it? Are you really giving thanks that you believe I've been faithful in doing what you asked? Or is it just words that you're speaking? Now, why should God do that? Just to test their faith? No. As a result of what he did, they not only got their backs healed, but they became people of faith like they were never before. They now understood how faith operates. They might have thought that they had faith before, but they didn't know how faith worked in the lives of people. How you keep hold to the word of God, no matter how you feel, no matter what the situation says, no matter what the circumstances are, you hold fast to the word of God with an honest and good heart. That's how Jesus put it. When he talked about, you know, in the parable of the sower, the people that in Luke, he doesn't mention the 30-fold and 60-fold. He only mentions the 100-fold, where the seed of the word falls in the good soil. Yes, produces the fruit, 100-fold fruit. And when Jesus is explaining what the 100-fold fruit means to the disciples, he said, these are those who hold fast to the word of God with an honest and good heart. They just hold fast to the word. Doesn't matter what the situation, they hold fast to the word. Doesn't matter what they feel, they hold fast to the word. Doesn't matter what the symptoms say, they hold fast to the word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. These are the words of eternal life. So, praise God.
Amen.
We really are on the winning side.
Yes, we are.
And yeah, it's great when we pray and we have an immediate healing. That's wonderful, isn't it? But actually, those are the easy times. You haven't had to do much. But when you have to persevere, when you have to really keep hold, laying hold of that word of God, when you have to keep confessing your faith in the face of everything that seems to be opposing, that actually is going to produce in you much more than just, "Ooh, that was good. I asked and you did it."
That's it.
And those of you that have been believers for a long time, you probably will be able to just reflect and understand, I've had both. I've had times when I prayed and God did it immediately. I've had other times when he didn't do it immediately, and I couldn't understand why he didn't do it immediately, but he worked other stuff out in me while I was continuing in faith until I saw the outworking of what I prayed for. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? So God will never give up on you. So don't ever give up on God.
Amen.
Because if you give up on God, what will you do? You'll reap what you sow. He won't actually give up on you, but you'll think he's given up on you. So it's great, isn't it? I mean, we've had all this wonderful Olympics going on and all these great athletes, and you hear them being interviewed and they all say the same thing. We've been preparing 4 years for this. This is the determination. This is all the training. This is all the boom, 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 boom that we've been doing. But the joy of winning the medal far exceeds the cost of 4 years of all that hard work in the training. Huh? And that's what it's like with us. Sometimes it seems tough, sometimes it seems there's so much discipline and denying of ourselves and having to walk in faith and obedience to the Lord. But the outcome far outweighs the cost.
Amen.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
I think it far, far outweighs the cost. Wonderful. And you see, there's a thing here. Those guys, you know, people say, we've got more medals than we were expecting. And so many people, when they come to the Olympics, they have their best performances that they've ever done. Why is that?
Well, they've been preparing for this point, but also they're in a context where there's thousands of people watching them. There's great expectation on themselves, expectations of the people, not only that are there, but of their nations that they're representing. Great. And that brings out the best in them.
Amen.
You know, sometimes I just felt God really telling me to share this with you this morning. I don't know why, because I don't normally talk about this. But, over the years I've spoken to many, many major international conferences where there's thousands and thousands of people, and sitting on the front row are all these sort of household names that have all got their own television programs from around the world, you know. And people say to me, in situations like, do you ever get nervous? I said, no. I've never ever known what it is to be nervous speaking to me. You mean you're speaking to thousands of people and there's all these people and you're never nervous? So I say, no. In fact, I love it. The bigger the crowd, the more it brings out of you. You see, and it's the same thing. If you know you've done the training, the bigger the event, it's going to bring the best out of you. If you know you've done your homework, you know, in prayer and in relation to the God and developing your anointing, the bigger the occasion, the more he's going to bring out of you. Now, we're not all called to that kind of ministry, but, you see, God puts you in situations where what is in you has got to come out of you. And you see, this is the point. You don't need to be afraid of that. That if you've done the work in relation with God, kept him there in that place of prayer, keep surrendering and offering yourself to God, when you come to that situation where it seems so impossible, how could God use you in that situation? He will draw out of you the very best that's there within. Just one more thing, and then we're going to pray together. God's going to do some stuff. Is that okay? You know, at the end of the college year, our students go out on what we call placements. They go to related churches. And one of our students happened to be a lady, but she, when she came back from her placement, she was just saying to me, "Oh, Pastor, he did it. And I said, "What did he do?" And he said, "There was this person in the wheelchair, and I just prayed, and he got up and he walked. And he was totally healed." I said, "He did it." So I said, "Well, of course he did. What else did you expect him to do?" I said, "You see, God has been building into you while you've been a student. He puts you into the situation, and what is in you comes out." And God did it, but you see, he just used her to minister to that person. And then she told of some other healings that had happened as well while she was on her placement. Now, I can remember when we first got into the things of the Spirit in my church, Anglican church, in the 1970s in Luton. I mean, things like this were happening all the time in all kinds of people in the congregation. We were just living in the miraculous. And, you know, it got to the point where you almost become blasé about it. I would say, you know, people would say, "Oh, Pastor, it's so exciting. This happened. I say, "Yeah, well, praise God." They say, "Aren't you excited?" So I said, "Well, yes, I'm excited, I'm pleased, but what else would we expect?" See, our expectation, and this is what faith is. Real faith builds expectation. So how can you pray with faith without expectation? And the question, and I teach our students and teach everybody this, you see, Jesus said, "If any two of you agree concerning anything, it will be done by my Father in heaven." Now, what does that mean? It means that when you pray, you both have the same expectation. Yeah. You both listen to the Holy Spirit. You both know what the Holy Spirit is saying. You both have the same expectation. It's a done deal. The trouble is, often when we pray, we don't know what other people believe. You know, I hear somebody praying sometimes and say, "Oh Lord, we believe," and I say, "Wait a minute, you can't say that. You don't know what other people are believing. You know what you believe, but you don't know what anybody else there is believing." It's an unrealistic prayer. And what I learned to do is, when I was leading prayer, I would say, "Lord, I believe." Then I could say, "Anybody else agree with me in that? Do you believe what I believe? Well, if you believe what I believe, then we're in agreement." Can you see that? But just to say we believe when you don't know what the other person believes is unrealistic. And our God is a God of truth, and He knows, well, that's, you don't even know that's true. Mm-hmm. So we need to have the same expectations.
Come on.
Yes?
Yeah.
And Jesus is saying, you have the same expectations, it's a done deal. No matter what you ask, the Father will do it.
That's it.
Why? Because the Holy Spirit is bearing the same witness to the hearts of both people.
Amen.
Praise God. And that's why so often, you know, people struggle when they try to resolve some situations on their own, but they come into a situation of faith where there's other believers, and then their faith gets united with the faith of somebody else, and boom. The level of faith and expectation rises. So when you come to Jesus every Sunday, as opposed to coming to church, when you come to Jesus, you come with expectation. Jesus is going to be present. Power of God is going to be released. Things are going to happen. Lives are going to be transformed. People are going to be healed. Now, you are not a Thomas. You know, there are always those who say, well, it will happen to everybody else, but it won't happen to me. I won't believe unless I see for myself. That was Thomas. You remember what Jesus said to Thomas when He did appear to him in His risen body, and He said, "Put your hand in my wounds." Yeah? He said, "Thomas, you believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who believe though they have not seen. Now you, my friend, are a blessed one because you believe though you have not seen Him in the flesh." Never think of yourself as a doubting Thomas. Never think of yourself as the one who He will get left, that will get left out. Never think of yourself as, well, it'll happen to everybody else, but it would not happen to me. Jesus says, you are a blessed one.
Amen. Amen.
Now, if you agree with Jesus, well, that's two agreeing, isn't it? Even if there's nobody else around, you agree with Jesus, done deal.
Yes.
Come on, let's all stand, shall we?
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm having a good time this morning. Anybody else having a good time?
Yes.
Because I love the Word of God. And you know, when you preach faith, your own faith gets encouraged at the same time. The more you speak it, the more you live it. So you need to speak it out to others too. Hallelujah. Come on, let's thank the Lord. Thank Him for the cross. Thank Him for the total victory of the cross. That is, it's actually, everything is a done deal because of what Jesus has already accomplished on the cross. We praise You, Lord. We bless You. We give You all the glory. We thank You. Surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him, and afflicted. Now this is the verse, the whole verse. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, You took all of our sins. Come on, just thank him now for his forgiveness. All guilt is taken away. All shame is taken away. Hallelujah. You don't need to be ashamed of your failures because God has forgiven you. Oh, the shame of that secret sin. You come to Jesus and you give that secret sin to him, and he forgives you and he delivers you from the shame of that thing. You don't even have to expose it to others. He delivers you now from the shame of any secret sin. You are completely and freely forgiven. If you come to him and bring it to him, you see, you lay it before him. Now bring him your life. Give to him. The measure you give is the measure you get back. This is the principle. This is the principle. So you give him the sin, but he doesn't only want the sin, he wants the good bits too. Amen?
Amen.
He didn't pay the price for the sin. He paid the price for the sin to be forgiven so that he could have the rest. Hallelujah. He didn't just die for your sins to be forgiven. He died for you,
Amen.
That you might belong to him.
Yes.
So right now, just thank him, Lord. I belong to you. You paid the price for me with your blood. Everything about me is yours. All that I am, everything I have, belongs to you. My life is not my own. That's what Paul said. My life is not my own. And he said to others, your life is not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. So thank the Lord. Lord, I'm not my own. I belong to you. I'm your child. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. You are my father. I belong to you. Hallelujah. No matter what's going on in my life, no matter what difficulties I have to face, no matter what affliction there is, that sometimes, no matter what turmoil or confusion there is at times, you are always my father. I am always your child. You never give up on me. Your love never, never, never fades. Nothing in the whole of creation can separate me from that love. And I praise you and I bless you. Thank you, Lord, that because of your love for me, you desire my total well-being, the highest good for my life. And I praise you, Lord. Thank you that this morning you love me. Before I even realized it, you loved me. Thank you, Lord, that you were desiring my highest good when I got up this morning. You were wanting me to live in your peace when I started this day, to live in that sense of total well-being with you. So I thank you, Lord, that as I give myself to you this morning, so you give yourself to me. As I surrender my life afresh to you, you give your life afresh to me. Thank you, it's your word. Thank you, it's the principle of your kingdom. The measure I give is the measure I get back. Lord, I give the poverty of my life, but you give me the riches of your life. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, is just poured into my lap. What a God of abundance you are. How I praise you, Lord. How I praise you that as I come to you and surrender my life afresh to you, you just lavish your grace upon me. You lavish your love. You lavish your healing power into my life. Now, God is doing that right at this moment. And what he's doing first is he's coming into those areas of your life where there's been a lack of peace. There's been anxiety, fear, all kinds of negative attitudes. But he's coming now with his peace to impart that peace to you. My peace I give to you now. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him. So thank the Lord now that he is not punishing you for anything. If you realize that there have been things, you know, you've suffered the consequences of your own foolishness, then thank him now that he forgives the foolishness. He's not punishing you, and you don't have to punish yourself or to think that you deserve to be punished, because he bore your punishment for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I might have deserved to be punished, but I will never be punished because you took my punishment for me. Praise your holy name. And by his stripes we are healed. Now you see, I could pray for you, but that's not what God is saying this morning, is it? He's not saying, oh, you'll receive your healing if someone prays for you. He's saying, no, you believe my word. You believe what I've done. So why don't you thank him now? Right? You thank him. Jesus says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. So, Lord, I believe I have received that healing. I've already done the asking. I don't need to keep asking. I thank you that I have received your healing. Thank you. It's not what I believe happens at this moment. I'm not looking for any feelings. I'm not looking for any holy glow or fire in any part of my body. I simply believe that I have received total healing in the Lord Jesus Christ in my body. And I thank you for it. Now just begin to thank the Lord. Just begin to praise him. Begin to speak out your thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I bless you, Jesus. I praise your holy name. I thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you say if any two agree concerning anything, well, I'm agreeing with you, Lord Jesus. I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with your word. I'm agreeing with what you have said. I'm agreeing with what you have done for me on the cross. I'm agreeing with what you do in me by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I thank you. Come on, let's just lift our hands, lift our hearts, open our mouths and praise him. We praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Parapataria leto bakalasitari sandaria leto bakalasinama. Vazandaria leto bakalasita. God's actually physically, people are physically receiving from him right now. Somebody receiving internal healing there or inside you. The power of God is just, because now you've believed it. You believe it, you've received, and so it's happening. Not saying it's happening for everybody at this immediate moment, but for that person it is. For somebody else, you've had something that's really causes a lot of ache in your joints, and you know, not only the pain is going, but the disease is going. The healing is happening. one of you suffers really oppressive kind of headaches, migraines, sort of thing, and you've just been completely healed now. You've just been completely healed. You see, he'd already done it, but you didn't believe he'd done it. Now you believe he's done it, it's done. And you see that? You believe he's done it. It's not that suddenly on this Sunday God decided to love you. He's loved you. He's heard what you pray. He's heard all those prayers. He's heard all those times when you cried out to him. And he said, but you didn't believe I'd done it. Now you believed I've done it. It's done. You've received it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I bless you. I give you all the glory, all the honor. Oh, papara zatabaria leto bakala sitri san. Bazatabaria leto bakala sitri san. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Come on, just thank the Lord for what you've received. Papara zatabaria leto bakala sitri san. You know, the other day I received a healing. I received a letter of a woman who described the most remarkable healing. I haven't got the letter with me. And you see, you know, she was saying, oh, I received my healing at bum, 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 such and such a meeting when you prayed for me and bum, 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 bum. And I wanted to write back to her and say, That's not when you were healed. You were healed 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. What happened is you then received the healing that he provided for you at that time. Right? You were healed, not at this meeting, this morning. You were healed 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
This morning you realized it. This morning you agreed it. This morning you believed it. So this morning it happened.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Come on, let's give the Lord a great big thank
you. Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.